Hey, you guys, Brock Cannon here. Stoked to introduce this podcast entitled The Lost Crops. This was a fun conversation. I sat down with the founders of a little company based out of Santa Barbara, California called Kaibe. They've got an amazing documentary called The Lost Crops that has been featured in about 10 different film festivals now. And it just talks about these amazing superfruits that are hidden in these pockets of the world and how to really utilize local culture to provide jobs while saving the planet and nourishing and feeding people that are very much malnourished, including most Westerners. We get into all these different crops, talk about the story. We talk about holistic and naturopath medicine, some of the differences between that and big pharma. And I just think you guys are going to find it fascinating. I had a ton of fun sitting down with this dynamic couple, and you guys are really going to enjoy this. Enjoy. All right, you guys, welcome to the Brock Cannon podcast. With me today, I have the pleasure of having Barbara and Luke Moss, who are the founders of a company called Kaibe, which we're going to get into, which is super fun. You may be wondering about my hat, and you may be wondering about my chair. This is the first time we've actually ever had two guests on the podcast, and I didn't have a folding chair. So it's like I'm tailgating today with a hat from Ghana, and I'm just going to rock it. And I'm super excited about it. And we're going to get into some awesome stuff. So welcome to the podcast, you guys.
Thank you.
So good to have you guys here. So for our listeners and our watchers, I'm going to take this off because I think everyone's just going to laugh the whole time. Tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you both grow up? And eventually tell me how you kind of met.
You or me?
You first.
Well, my name is Dr. Luke Moss. I'm a naturopath. I've been in practice in Santa Barbara for nearly 25 years. Originally in Belgium, from Belgium. I grew up in a family where natural medicine was just part of growing up. I was a surfer, or could still surf, sailor, ocean lover, inspired by the Beach Boys, ended up in Santa Barbara.
Now, wait, did you come right to Santa Barbara from Belgium?
No.
Initially?
Well, actually, this is where I'm at now. But
okay.
I did my studies in my medical studies in London, Chicago, and Oregon. Studied naturopathic medicine. Background in biochemistry and plants, and while I was studying for my chiropractic degree in Chicago, met Barb, and that's where the journey started. We traveled. We lived in Oregon and studied naturopathic medicine there for three more years, and homeopathy has been my passion. And throughout the years now, practicing here in Santa Barbara, I've always been, my practice has always been geared towards stressing the importance of what people eat, and also the products that they use topically on their skin. So naturopathic medicine was, you know, when we moved to Oregon, people were like, where are you going, you know? Where's Oregon?
Yeah.
What's naturopathic medicine? And now what we're seeing is healthier eating, or organic, topical and ingestible, and foods and supplements and herbs have all become an increasing piece of our regimen on a daily basis. So it's nice to see.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into all the naturopathic talk and supplements and everything. So you were in Chicago when you met this guy.
So yeah. I born and raised in Chicago.
Okay.
We actually met in a bar.
Yes.
We met in Jim McMahon's for any football fans.
All right.
He had a bar. He was the quarterback of the Bears. And there was a party. And what can I say? I met this cute young boy. Luke was 21, so that ages us, definitely. And, you know, 30 years later, we're still together, and we've taken this journey. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
We came to Santa Barbara, didn't know anybody.
Now we know everybody?
Hung up our shingle. I mean, I would lecture, had a radio show, I was on TV, I wrote for national magazines. Barb would come up with the story or with the title, and I would have to create the content. So we've had a great practice here for many, many years.
Raised our kids,
totally natural.
Love it.
It's been so far an awesome experience to team up with Barb. We've worked side by side now for 25 years.
I've always been his front desk lady.
Wow. So, you're half the treat. You're half the treatment.
Kind of.
So I'm very curious. Actually, one of the first things you said about being from Belgium and that it was just natural medicine was more accepted and normal over there. Tell us more about that. What do you see as some of the differences then in Belgium and in Europe versus today? Has it changed much? How is it more accepted there, if that's the case?
My dad was in the field. So my dad was an oriental medical doctor, chiropractor, physical therapist. He had his own natural products industry. So we were in that. That was kind of how we were brought up. But in general, in Europe, I mean, you can walk into a pharmacy in France, in Belgium, and you'll see homeopathic remedies next to allopathic pharmaceuticals, next to herbs. Uh-huh. And, you know, you might have a fever, they might give you a certain tea, or they might, it's much more still accepted to, it was just how I was brought up. Uh-huh. And it's still like that. I mean, when I talk to my mom, my parents still live there. When mom doesn't feel well, she goes to the pharmacist who whips up some teas and some herbs. And,
wow.
And but at the same time, they'll also integrate it with allopathic medication. What I think is great about that is that we rely less on allopathic drugs, less side effects, and get the maximum benefit if those drug is really indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, although I see that trend we see people becoming more open to using more natural products.
Right.
And some you see a little bit in the medical field, but we're still far behind, I think, here.
Yeah. So over there, it's more like they'll look at all forms of treatment, not just, hey, pop a pill.
Right. I mean, it's... some doctors have different, more inclined to would be more natural and otherwise less, but you'll just commonly see a doctor recommending both, or people pick up a homeopathic remedy for minor ailments here and there. It's just more accepted, but you're right.
Yeah, I mean, when we first met each other 30 years ago, I remember Luke was homeopathy, nutrition, and people were like, What is homeopathy? And
right.
Now all the friends back in the Midwest, they live by it, they swear by it, they call us for recommendations. But back then it was just, it's just something that's what you knew.
Yeah, that's how I grew up.
So let me ask you this, with the pharmaceutical industry, I mean, obviously it makes a lot of money worldwide. Big pharma is big pharma. I have a friend in Denmark who's from the States that is in pharmaceuticals over there. He does very well. They pay him very well. Mm-hmm. So I know it's everywhere, but how did it get so monstrous here in the US, do you think? And how has it not been kind of checked? How have Europeans been able to maybe keep a better head about it? Like, hey, we're going to look at everything, not just big pharma.
I mean, there's more, I think, more of a tradition. Like, dates back many, many hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Where herbs, the herbal tradition that moved to the US came from Europe.
Right.
And that's where naturopathic medicine grew up out of. And the only reason why naturopathy survived is because there was a need for doctors in rural communities.
Okay.
And that's how naturopathic medicine survived and now flourishes again. Same thing for chiropractic. I don't know. I guess
in the 50s or so remember when naturopathic was huge in this country. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly small when you went back to school.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be homeopathic medical schools in the US.
Wow.
So when everything, I would say, if I remember correctly, in the 30s, if it wasn't based on a biochemical, then it had no room in the field of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Homeopathy is energetic. I mean, acupuncture is energetic. It doesn't
right.
fit into that model. So, and it probably grew from there. I mean, chemistry is, how do you call it? Modifies the way cells talk to each other. You can measure it, you can evaluate it. So we live in a society where things need to be very material, and we've kind of, I would say in America, lost, although we're moving back towards that.
Almost intuition, right.
Yeah, like the intuitiveness, the sensitivity, the now it's all more based on material observation, whereas Chinese traditional medicine and I'm sure some Western herbal medicine had more of an art to it. I feel like almost the art of healing has been lost.
Yes.
Now it's all pure, let's say, mathematics,
yes.
structure,
yes.
chemical. I think there's a room for both.
Yes.
And the reason why that one has taken off, money, politics, lobbying,
yeah.
Who has more money wins,
yes.
I guess.
Yes, there's a lot of money behind it and a lot of power behind it, 100%.
But the fact that we see natural medicine, the fact that we see... that's where medicine comes from.
Yes.
You cannot ignore
exactly.
where... the original observations were made in the Amazon, were made in nature, and now they're extracting the one specific chemical that, that has that effect, like aspirin, for example. Why do these drugs have all these side effects? Is because all the other nutrients that are, for example, in that leaf that work synergistically,
mm-hmm.
If you just extract that one chemical, it'll have a message, but also has side effects. If you have all the chemicals together, you might have a more of a synergism.
Yes.
So that's like the art. I would say the art of medicine has sort of been lost when it comes to allopathic medicine.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it.
So, you've been doing this a long time in the States. Has there been like a period of time where you can kind of pinpoint where you just thought, "Wow, people are really on the rise with accepting and understanding holistic and natural medicine more"? Is it the last 10 years? Has it been the last 20? Has there always kind of been a presence there?
It's always been there. Just to give you an example, when I went to naturopathic school, there were 50 people in my class.
Okay.
Okay, tiny little class. Now you go to naturopathic school, there's 200, 250 people in class. So what you're seeing is that the interest has grown. The school I used to go to used to be style, and now it's a big school. So there is an interest among healers to move in that direction. And I think that's, we're seeing that consumers increasingly want products that promote well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a gradual increase mass-wise over the past, the past 20 years?
Remember that adult ed class that we thought 10 people would show?
Remember that? I taught adult ed. As I mentioned, you do anything to bring a message out.
Yeah.
So we had adult ed here in Santa Barbara, and Barb came up with a great title. Do you know what you're taking?
It was like, ginkgo.
Or even your medications. So
St. John's wort, were the...
So we were worried because we had to have 15 people for this class.
For the class to need help.
Yeah, and we're like so worried. Friends were driving from LA to fill the space.
Okay.
Close to 90, 95 people
showed
up? No, I think
we had 115 show.
Wow.
The first class was huge.
We were like, ooh, wow.
They were sitting on top of each other. So there was interest. There is interest.
Yeah.
What I see right now in this field is like with Amazon and with, you walk into a health food store and the clerk can say, that works, that may, you don't know how much they know. They might give you a couple of supplements based on their window of knowledge. Maybe that's diluting natural medicine too, because in order for it to be effective, you need to have a very there's a targeted way of introducing certain nutrients at certain moments in the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
And haphazard shopping for supplements, because suddenly CoQ10, is available at Walgreens, or vitamin C is available at Walmart, whatever.
Or an Instagram blogger wrote about it, therefore everyone needs to have it.
Yeah.
But the body heals in a certain way,
yeah.
and it needs certain amount of information to move in the healthful direction. and that's what naturopaths do. That's our background. So, but I think one, it's great that we're seeing more of these natural products on the market. Well, I think where we're kind of losing the consumer is that the consumer doesn't need some better guidance.
Yeah.
Because now they shop for themselves. They try to cure themselves.
Right.
Plug in migraine on the internet.
Right.
Bunch of supplements, not quite sure where they come from. They buy them at the store. It works, maybe it doesn't work.
Yes.
And now I'm seeing that, I see them after they've done that.
Yes.
and self-medication.
What are some of the biggest challenges you think consumers face when buying natural products? Is it because a lot of the products are not all created equally? The efficacy is not the same across the board. Some are kind of watered down, so to speak.
Correct. I mean, there's a wide array of quality in products, and sometimes the consumer doesn't know what's what, where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll say there's CoQ10 in this bottle, but it has a sprinkle of it.
Yeah.
It has no clinical benefit.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm seeing, for example, that patient come in and say, oh, I'm taking fish oil. Oh, great. How much do you take? I take one capsule. I'm like, okay. How big is the capsule?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm just gonna let you know that the clinical research that was done, that you need to take 4 grams in order to achieve that benefit over
right.
this amount of time. So, you know, people will just take, but it's not, they might take the right thing sometimes, but it's not properly, not the proper amounts in order to achieve the proper results. And then they say natural medicine doesn't work.
So dosing is really a huge piece of
the equation,
understanding how much
what they put in capsules,
mm-hmm.
how much you take, what you combine it with. Because sometimes if you combine vitamins with medications, if they're poorly combined,
right.
They will increase absorption, they will slow down absorption. Those are all things you got to be aware of. And it's chemistry, you know?
Right.
So yes, on one end, you can see companies that have adulterated products that have they don't make the right claims. They put less in than what you would expect. The source, you don't know. And that's, like, for example, with Kaibe right now, for me, as a naturopath, and having known all this, it's become important to understand the quality of an ingredient, how it's packaged, how it's processed. For that, that's very, very important for me. Because I wanted to have a result.
Right.
And so yeah, there's challenges out there.
Yeah. I mean, what do you feel like are some things consumers can do that are interested in natural medicines? Maybe they're finally willing to get off some of their big pharma pills and try more natural products, other than coming to see you or someone that's qualified and knows what the dosages are like and the combinations.
Well, if you're on pharmaceuticals, you got to work with your doctor that prescribed it. If you choose to go off of them, sometimes there's, you know, you take certain medications, but then you also, there's ways when you get off of them, there's it has to be done a certain way. You have to find a doctor that can work with you, that can support you in that direction. But I would not recommend that people just haphazardly decide to go off their Paxil or their Prozac or their high blood pressure drug and suddenly
yeah.
say, oops, I'm
yeah.
done. You know?
I'll always talk to your doctor first. Yeah.
Well, if you start playing with, yeah, I would.
Yeah. Good answer, yeah.
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the lost crops, and I want to talk about Kaibe. And Barb, would you hold that bag up? I'm so excited to learn more about this, you guys.
I'm talking a lot. You got to say something.
That's good. I always talk a lot, so I'd like to listen to him. I always am in admiration when Luke speaks about his work because he's really passionate about it. So you can talk about Kaibe.
So I love plants. And I love nature. And I was going to be a marine biologist. My dad told me fish don't pay you. So, but anyway, I love nature. I'm passionate about plants and love animals. And naturopathic medicine was the perfect fit. I was able to still work closely with plants and capture their benefits to benefit my patients. And that's what kind of has filled my spirit over the years, and especially working with kids. I love working with kids. They're awesome. And but I've been researching plants all over the world at the same time. I mean, having my practice, but we've traveled to South America, Europe, Africa, and having my family in the natural products industry, I've always been in search of ingredients that can make an impact. So about 7 years ago, I fell in love with a giant tree. You see palm trees? Well, I was seduced by palm trees to California, and now I was seduced by a giant tree that grows in Africa, the baobab tree. Mm. And you may have seen this giant upside down.
I love it. It's beautiful.
They're amazing trees.
It's a known tree. It's the tree from The Little Prince. It's the tree from Madagascar. Yeah. There's a lot of people that we say baobab, and then they go, oh, I know that tree, or that was my favorite book, The Little Prince. So,
So I mean, initially I was purely interested by the biochemistry. I was like, I gotta find something that can address the underlying cause of chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at products for the gut, and I was looking at something that also could affect blood sugar. And I came across the fruit of this tree. It looks like this, by the way. They're pretty wild looking.
So for those that are just listening to this, we're holding up it's like a large pod.
Yeah.
Essentially. And we'll have links to where you guys can see the video and everything. But it's a beautiful pod.
Yeah, it's hard. It's extremely light. So that's the fruit of the baobab. So I came across the baobab because I was, because of its prebiotic benefit. And prebiotics feeds the probiotics in the gut. 70% of your immune system is wrapped around the intestines. So for me, it was like, wow, this is an amazing ingredient. And then there was some research showing that when you add it to food, that it stabilizes blood sugar. Mm. So before you add any kind of supplements to your regimen, the gut and blood sugar for me are crucial to address. So baobab was the answer. It's extremely high in vitamin C. It's high in magnesium, potassium, and calcium, other three nutrients that people are commonly deficient in.
Right.
And then the antioxidant value, if you're familiar with acai, mm-hmm. it's, I don't know, two, three times, four times more acai.
Wow.
So it's a dinosaur of a tree.
Yeah.
But as I started learning more and more and more and more, I was like, wow, these trees grow among in regions of the world where agricultural development is difficult. It grows among communities where poverty is widespread. Mm. And I just got deeper and deeper and deeper into this tree. And one day I was like, Barb, I gotta go to Africa.
So you had started to study and research the tree in depth before you even got on a plane to go see one.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, but I was like, how am I gonna get to Africa? So you saw my film. I mean,
yes. And can you tell everyone the name of the film so they can look it up? Because it's amazing.
It's called Lost Crops. It's thanks to Barb. It's gone through
about 12
different film festivals.
It just showed at the United Nations Film Festival at Stanford, called Theme of Tomorrow. So that was very exciting. I think that was.
I can't even remember where we looked it up to watch it.
Well, it's on gokaibe.com. Can I plug the website? We've now uploaded it there because it, while it's doing the film circuit, we have to keep it private. But now we've realized it's so it's on our website.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have links to that, everybody.
Yeah.
So I mean, we had like a connection in Ghana through my family, and but they had never heard of the tree before. One of the employees is like, the tree grows somewhere in North Ghana. And I have some family there, let me check. And I was like, how am I gonna go to Ghana? I mean, am I gonna go by myself, So out of desperation one day, I plugged in, there has to be somebody in Santa Barbara that knows about Africa. So I plugged in Santa Barbara, Africa, in Google, And here pops up Tom Cole. And I'm like, looking at this guy's resume, I'm like, oh my God, he must be
75 years old. Like, his resume.
This huge resume.
Whoa.
And he was a botanist, expert in aloe, works in Africa, a specialist in agricultural development. I'm like, where's this guy coming from?
Yeah.
So we connected, and he showed up weeks after we called him. And I'm like, do you know the baobab? And his eyes lit up. And he's like, I love that tree, So I'm like, would you be interested to work and to go to travel with me, to go, visit the communities? So we spent our first 16 days there, and went to look and study the viability of working with communities. And a lost crop, I mean, what is a lost crop? A lost crop is a crop that is a natural resource that grows in abundance in regions where they could make a difference for communities. I mean, right now, I mean, when we went there 7 years ago, they would just eat this on a how do you call it, as needed basis.
Well, it's a famine food.
Okay.
So there's an abundance of trees with tons and tons of fruits that could make, whose harvest could make a difference for them.
Right.
So with Tom's expertise, we made the assessment to look for the opportunity for trade, and we built our own processing center. We employed now hundreds of community members. We have a trusted person on the ground. We're organically certified. We have a solid supply chain. So we look as a company for these plants that have incredible health benefits, both internally and topically, that also make a difference for the planet. So you've heard of the microbiome. And the microbiome is basically all the good bugs that live in you and on top of you. Your skin has a full-on microbiome.
Wow.
So
now these, say that again. These are the good bugs that live inside of us.
Yeah. The word micro.
That sounds so creepy.
No. You have about. Okay. Well, I don't want to get.
I love this.
I don't want to gross you out. But we have about 3 pounds of organisms that live in and on us.
Oh okay? My God.
And. What does a probiotic do? A probiotic feeds our good bugs that repopulate the gut. And that has a powerful effect on your immune system. 70% of your immune system is wrapped around the gut. So, and the interaction between these organisms and the gut sends messages to your brain, makes your mood better, sends messages to your immune system to protect yourself from the outside world. But also what they're finding now is that these organisms, they all live on your skin. And they do the same thing. So Kaibe has sort of grown organically into finding plants that benefit the microbiome, the surface of the planet,
okay,
by revaluing these plants. Otherwise, we're going to lose them to deforestation.
Uh-huh.
And the products that we use internally and topically repopulate and feed healthy organisms that keep us healthy. So as a company, our goal is to benefit the environment, livelihoods, and people's health inside and out.
So cool.
And so there, cool. If we do not reappreciate these plants in the Amazon, and this is an African savanna, grows in an arid place where agriculture is impossible, or impossible, it's challenging.
Right.
This creates new opportunities, supports communities. We're doing the same thing for cacao in the Amazon. Tom is now in Uganda, in a region, in a post-conflict region. We've connected there with women's groups that harvest Shea nilotica. In Zanzibar, we're connecting with communities that harvest seaweed, because seaweed is very important to the ocean, the planet.
That was in the film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very cool.
So we are basically capturing the benefits of all these plants in our topical regimen, and also our internal regimen. I admire Patagonia. Patagonia is my who I model ourselves after.
Okay.
Because
the company Patagonia.
The company, yes. I mean, I'd like to go to Patagonia,
yeah,
too. I like traveling to nice places.
Yeah.
What I like about them is that they're strong commitment to the environment, and also their commitment to developing quality products.
Yes.
And that's what we're all about.
That's awesome, you guys. We need like a million more clones of what you guys are doing and this planet, wow. So I want to get into some of the initial hardships of when you guys were trying to get this off the ground. Because I can't imagine just taking a leap of faith, going to Africa, which is a very unknown country for us Westerners, and looking back, what was some of the biggest challenges as you guys were trying to get everything set up?
Every day. I'm as a doctor coming from behind his desk, who has his, you know, world of plants for health, I had to learn to work with how can I get this baobab processed? How can I get it into the country? How, you know, what customs do I connect with? How do you talk to people that drive the trucking company and transportation, because they have their own language.
Oh, wow.
Customs has their language. So what I love is I love putting the puzzle together.
Yeah.
And there's still challenges every step of the way.
Yeah.
They feel greater now to me when I look at the beginning stages of setting that up. Maybe it's because I was less involved then. I look at that times 10 now. Like, now we're in Whole Foods, or we're in Lazy Acres,
right,
or we're in, we sell our ingredients, and Luke can address that, but now it's like, it's gone from this idea to...
Yeah, it's gotten pretty big.
Really big.
It's a big dream, but...
Are there any specific stories that you remember that you're just like, oh my God, how are we going to get through this particular hiccup or challenge, like...
Every
Did
day.
Anything ever get like stolen over there, or like trucks go missing, or just like
no.
Anything crazy like that?
What's amazing is that we have a partner, and we're very lucky about that, that we trust 100%. We actually started his company in Ghana.
Okay.
And so I feel very comfortable with what we have in Ghana. I have no problem with that. Bringing it all in. I mean, there's hiccups all the time.
We got over
like,
a hiccup
like,
this
morning. Like for example, we're developing a product in Europe, and we had to do our first shipment from Ghana to Europe, and I don't know. I mean, customs and paperwork, and you miss one piece of paper,
yeah,
they hold it for weeks.
Yes,
and this is not what happened. It was held for 2 weeks. They finally released it, but you have no control.
Yeah,
but. You know, you can't. If you're a micromanager, you just kind of have to let it happen, and trust that people do, you know, do the right job. But you have to, how do you call it? Finding the right people has been a challenge.
Yeah.
Building the right team. Right now, Barb and I do 90% of the work,
mm-hmm.
but we have great consultants around us.
Okay.
We've grown slower than we would like, because I'm fine with the way we're growing, but it's, you have to find the right team members in order to create that dream, and
mm-hmm.
that's been a huge learning
learning curve.
I mean, the partnership with Tom and Luke and I is
it's solid,
really solid.
Yeah.
And maybe because the growth has been gradual, we've been able to hold on to that and be fluid with our partnership,
the three of us.
Let me ask you on that, because we have a lot of entrepreneurs that watch this and lots of people that would like to get into business, and partnerships are definitely a very sticky area for many. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs with regards to picking a good partnership? You guys trusted each other. But bringing in another person that maybe you didn't have a ton of history with initially, how did you realize that it was a good partnership?
Well, we've gotten to know each other very gradually over the couple of years. And then we traveled to Ghana and really got to learn each other, how we both operate, and kind of gauged his interest and his expertise and where he wants to operate within. Within how he sees himself within Kaibe.
Tom is from the same community, so there's a way for, I mean, we can look at both of these men, Luke and his medical practice, and Tom and his journey with his aloe garden and his aid work,
his
and
passion
say
for
they're
plants
both
and...
so well respected, and they come from like an honest place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, there was no misstep in a background check. Like, they're both really good people.
I would say, for one thing I've learned, is patience. And it's you can't force it. Kaibe has grown very organically, would that be correct?
Mm-hmm.
People have, I feel like when you're very focused and clear about what your mission is and where you want to go, the right people are going to come into your space. Sorry to be esoteric, but that's but what has happened to us.
You're talking to someone with a man bun.
I love it. That's we're gonna get that as a clip. That's like so good. That's cool.
But it's like a, it's your state of mind. You know, you attract people. People come into your field.
Yes.
When you're in the flow, I think that's a good word. And it happens.
Yes.
If you're very clear about what you want, and I'm focused. I know what we want, and we've touched and met people. In the highest levels, CEOs of top companies that I could. We've met people that we've like look up to.
Yeah.
And now we sit in front of them and go, wow, you know, I'm here. And the film has opened up a lot of doors.
Yes.
And because our story addresses important elements, you know, health, the planet.
This red bag has opened.
Has
so
opened
many
doors.
How so?
I think Luke always saw like the Kaibe brand of more of this inside and out, and the skincare, and the whole like a whole line of products. And you know, we are gradually developing products and creating this line, but this bag still exists. And
yeah.
I think, although he had different visions or bigger visions, or didn't maybe see himself in a red pouch and Whole Foods, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm so proud of that. But that has been the way for us to kind of open doors to these big companies.
Baobab is a new ingredient to
yes.
the market. I mean, here I'm not
What's
only
old is new.
Here I'm not only going to Africa, but here I'm introducing an ingredient that people can't even pronounce.
Oh, and people thought we misspelled probiotic for years. It says prebiotic. They were like, "Oh, you must have misspelled probiotic."
Yeah.
But
so
no,
I was talking about
big.
Prebiotics 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, is there a difference?
Oh yeah, I mean
total difference.
Yeah,
okay.
so probiotics are the little bugs, the nice organisms that you need, but they need food.
Yes.
You know, so if you eat a sugary diet and a lot of the Western foods, you're feeding yeasts. You know, you're feeding the wrong organisms.
Okay.
So prebiotic fiber, which can be found throughout a lot of vegetables, but particularly concentrated in baobab, it's 48% fiber.
Wow.
It feeds the organism. It's a substrate where all these different organisms can flourish. So if you take a probiotic, it doesn't guarantee that it will flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many organisms that live in the gut that you cannot encapsulate, that are part of your microbiome, voila. That you can only promote through the foods you eat. So by introducing an ingredient that is high in this particular fiber, you're promoting the growth of a multitude of these healthy organisms in the gut, which then has its effect on the immune system, its effect on the skin. There's now research showing that when you eat fiber, this particular fiber, that people sleep better. Research
oh, wow.
was done at the university in Colorado. I mentioned the blood sugar. I mentioned the inflammation, the microbiome. So there's now research showing that the messaging, when you eat a certain food, it triggers an immune response, a neuroendocrine immune response that sends a message to your skin. So they've shown that people with diabetes, that their skin ages faster. So if you don't handle sugar correctly, it causes your skin to age faster from within.
Interesting.
So the whole regimen incorporates ingestibles and topicals because of these recent findings.
Interesting.
And the most powerful plants to do it come from the wild. So wild plants we need to preserve because they have a wisdom that cannot be found in organically farmed monoculture environments, cannot be found in, our diet has become very lost its diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a monoculture farming,
yes.
monoculture diet, and they're showing that the biodiversity in the gut and biodiversity in the skin is important for our health.
Mm.
And only wild plants will give us that type of information.
Tell me about the roots. This is really cool.
Yes, please.
You want me to go in there?
Yeah, go first.
Let's go deeper.
So, no, okay.
Speaking
so,
deep.
what's really cool about white plants is that the roots are surrounded by bacteria or bacterial families that live in healthy soil, in that specific soil, that promote nutrient absorptions in the roots much more effectively and much more efficiently than plants that are farmed. So the biome, the environment around the root of a wild plant feeds the plant or promotes the absorption of nutrients so they can survive in their specific environment. So, you know, in the wine industry, they call it the terroir, you know, the terrain. Uh-huh. And farm plants have lost that vigor, have lost that vitality that can only find in the wild.
So what are some of the other regions or places where we still do find some of these wild plants? Obviously, the baobab tree being one of them.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they're around us. They're in the Amazon. They're in the ocean. I mean, that's why we gotta.
Are there any still here in the United States?
Oh yeah, I mean, you have how do you call
acorns?
It? Acorns. You know, I would say that's a lost crop. I mean, we're surrounded by plants that are important for us to reappreciate.
Yes.
But to get back to the bugs that live around the roots of the wild plant, the same bugs in your gut help with nutrient absorption in your gut into the blood. So it's kind of like these messengers, you know, that that nature kind of has
a wisdom.
That is diluted.
We call it a wild intelligence.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So you heard of AI, you know, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We're going the opposite.
Forget AI. We're going back.
We're going the opposite.
Wild intelligence.
But yeah, I think the only way to preserve nature and to keep plants from disappearing is by revaluing their fruits. Whether it's in the U.S., whether it's in the Amazon, or... I'm sure we'll find one in the U.S. I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah.
Can't share that.
But what's interesting is that, like, for example, you're seeing a movement right now into regenerative farming beyond organic. And so...
Can you define that a little bit more for us?
I'll do my best.
Very simple folk.
I'll do my best. I think it's a reappreciation for the earth. By creating diversity in farming and animal husbandry, would that be correct? And to create a mechanism that replenishes the soil by moving away from monoculture, by introducing different crops at different times.
The way that animals are taken care of, the way that workers are compensated. There's a whole movement right now, and it's, you know, regenerative agriculture, and it's being spearheaded by Dr. Bronner's and Patagonia and some other really...
And Tom would be the perfect person to share.
Podcast.
Yeah, we'll get Tom on one
time.
But that would be my best description of regenerative agriculture.
Okay.
The most friendly way to treat the earth and the soil.
Okay.
And I think that's what we're doing with our wild plants by preserving what's there. And by revaluing the fruit, by reappreciating for these communities. Otherwise, they will use a tree for a one-time use for firewood.
Wow.
And now by seeing that every year that tree can reproduce for me, that becomes...
and then generations will stay in those regions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole piece about...
Economically,
keeps,
you know. And now they're starting to plant more of them. So it's exciting.
That's so cool. So I want to talk just a little bit more about some of the community efforts that have really been enhanced just from you guys going in there and starting this. What was kind of the economic landscape in some of these poor villages like before you guys came in, and what is it looking like now?
I mean, we're definitely making an impact at this time. Now we have people are happy there. I mean, how do you call it? When we asked them, what is it that you would like to have us, what would you like to come out, what would be the outcome from this partnership? They were like, we want increased access to healthcare and education. And while we're still in the beginnings, I mean, it takes a long time, we are definitely making an impact on increasing jobs during a time when there's no agriculture, because the baobab is harvested during the dry season. We have people that help with processing and handling and transport. I mean, our partner Suli has created an amazing mechanism to bring the fruits from remote places all the way to our processing center. And
blacksmith.
Yeah. So, you know, this is all kinds of cool stories. About 5 years ago, I was like, you know, Suli, I found this $30,000 machine in Great Britain that I want to ship to you to make the to start scaling up.
Okay.
You know, initially, we were with manual.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it was like, Suli, I got this machine, and he's like, show me a picture. And he's a smart guy, so he's like, show me the picture. So he looked at it, he took it to the
electrical
engineer, mechanical engineer. They built it.
No kidding.
For a tenth of the price.
Wow.
So now we have multiple of them.
Wow.
So the same thing. I mean, these pods are way up high, and they use sticks.
Yeah.
You know. And I was like, okay, Suli, I'm going to send you these avocado pickers that we have here.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah. So he went
send
to
me a picture.
Yeah. He went to the blacksmith, and the blacksmith originally was just two sticks tied together with a rope.
Okay.
That's how they would pull off the fruit. And now the blacksmith developed a metal hook to, so he now has, how do you call it, has work. So it's kind of nice to see from what we started that there's already people that I never thought that it would have benefited from our partnership. That is really cool to see.
That's amazing.
And so I can't wait to go back. I'm gonna go back soon. But that's kind of what we're seeing. And hopefully we're gonna get to a point where Kaibe becomes big enough that we can make an even greater impact.
Yeah.
Kaibe has a meaning.
Kaibe. Kaibe means bonjour, shalom, hello, how are you?
Okay.
And Kusao, which is the language of the communities that live in that region.
I love it.
So when Luke would, we had all kinds of names. We were Thrive something, and you know, now there's a lot of Thrives out there. So
yes,
we're happy that left. But Luke was like, gosh, when I would, Tom and I drove up to the communities, they would be like, Kaibe, Kaibe, Kaibe. So suddenly he's telling that story and he's like, it should be Kaibe. Like,
that's
is
so cool.
This greeting. So
yeah,
that's how that name stuck.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
But I mean, you know, yes, there's hurdles. There's zigzags. I mean, there's hurdles, there's zigzags, there's, you know, but sometimes you make a mistake and you go, oh my God, I made such a mistake, you know, derailed me. But then 2 months later, you realize that mistake helped you push further.
Mm.
So sometimes it's not a mistake, but it's actually a redirecting. And there's ups and downs, you know.
Yes.
There's all these cool stories and all this fun stuff, but you just got to keep on going. Persistence,
it's
focus.
It's a lot of work to be an entrepreneur. You know that.
Yes.
It's not, you know, 40 hours a week. It's
nonstop.
Triple that. Yeah.
It is. I'm so glad to hear you guys say that, because I think there's so much delusion right now, and it's actually cool to be an entrepreneur right now. It used to not be. Everyone used to want to be doctors, lawyers, or professional athletes. Now it's like, if you can put entrepreneur on Instagram, you're cool. But people think it's going to be easy in some way, and it's just not.
One thing that I would also focus on is know what you know or think you know, and understand that there's a lot of other people out there that have expertises that they have that are of great value, and I don't think you know everything.
Yes.
That's a big thing that I've never thought I know everything. I always thought I know nothing, but you're always learning, And the more you talk and the more you meet and the more, you always learn something. Yes. And don't be all, how do you call it?
Be a good listener.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen and then take what you say, okay, this is going to work for me. And then you start to shape your company, your identity, your mission, and then, you know, it grows.
I want to ask you guys an interesting question because this literally happened to me this morning. Have you had advice, maybe unsolicited or just freely offered without you asking for it, from someone that you do respect, maybe they're an entrepreneur or someone in the field, but you decided to not take that advice and kind of just trust your intuition or another thing? Have you had any situations like that?
All the time. I mean, I think the intuition piece is huge in entrepreneurship.
Luckily, I have Barb on board.
And she's my intuitive. I'm super intuitive and he's science.
I'm the dreamer.
We're total opposites. That's how this relationship works. But there have been missed opportunities because we haven't taken people's advice. And then there's been intuition not to do it, and we look back and we dodged something big by not working with that person. So you have to, it's like having your baby, you have to guard your ideas.
Yes.
And be careful about, you know, how many people are allowed to come into that or influence you or whatever. So go with your gut.
And also, how do you both deal with what I call shiny object syndrome or squirrel syndrome, where as entrepreneurs sometimes we do say yes to a lot of opportunities. I think we're more positive-minded in many ways, but how do you keep your focus and stick with your mission? Because you guys obviously are very clear on that without being pulled in too many rabbit trails.
Well, we have been pulled into a lot of rabbit trails.
Okay.
And then we, because we're like this trio of Tom and Luke and I, we have been able to pull the other person out or ourselves out or go, oh, gosh, that was a mistake. You know, we've been pulled into a lot of those.
I mean, we've had people come, big company, you know, with global reach, exclusive, okay? And we're like, wow, wait, talk about huge shining object.
Yes.
But then if you sign that exclusive agreement, be very careful about what, if you sign that exclusive, I mean, that means that, you know, if that person doesn't perform, that you are, I mean, you can put all kinds of clauses in there, but just make sure that when you, how do you call it? Just do your homework, you know? And we've been pulled in directions for a year almost, you know? We've been vetted by major, major consumer packaging companies. I don't want to mention them right now, but we're like, wow, you know, I'll be able to make a difference for these communities and bring Baobab to the world. And and then after a year and a half, they make a product and then they drop it because they're a big company.
Right.
They can do it.
Right.
And, you know, you, as a small company, you kind of put all your hopes in that. And I've learned not to put my hopes in. I like to have many, many opportunities going at the same time and seeing, okay, this one's not working, this one might work 20%, maybe this one's 80, and that's kind of how we keep on moving forward.
I love that.
And I think what might end up happening is that they all stick at the same time. That might be, you know, many years ago we thought, oh, if just this one celebrity talks about our product, we'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Overnight success. And it didn't happen, and I always look back at that and say, we probably weren't ready. We could not have handled it.
Right.
So, as we're now about almost 7 years old, right, we have matured, we're wiser, we've made tons of mistakes, we've made some really good moves strategically on purpose and not on purpose. You know, it's just, it's...
Well, just to give you an example, you want to show them the mask?
Yeah.
So finally, after all these years, I mean, okay, so one, getting the product here and having all the certifications. I mean, we're organic, we're kosher, we're non-GMO, we're processed in like top food facilities so we can meet the requirements of all these major CPGs. I mean, this was, I love that part. It's a whole journey. So here we have this quality product, but how do you sell that quality product to the world, you know?
Yes.
That's a challenge, the marketing part. And that's a huge investment, you know, too. But anyway, learning about how the cosmetic industry works,
yes,
was a huge challenge too. We went through multiple formulators to actually create something that I want. I wanted to have a product that's natural,
mm-hmm,
with no chemicals, mm-hmm, and they kept on sneaking in chemicals.
Wow.
So it was a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
And then finally, all these mistakes finally led to a formulator that used to work with Estee Lauder that is 30 years experience. See, all these mistakes we made led to an amazing individual who,
yeah,
has extensive experience and helped us with the formulation of our face oil that captures the benefits of the baobab from the savanna, the cacao from the Amazon, and our Capificus seaweed from Zanzibar.
And the
sandalwood. So it's all captured and created with oils that are all sustainably harvested, which is important for us, and to support our story and who we are.
Yes.
And so we went to Indie Beauty in New York City last summer, and it was like to get our message out. Thanks to Barb, we got out there and we pushed ourselves, and we thought that this face oil was going to be the huge hit, you know. And then you can tell him the next part of the story.
So as all things Kaibe happen for a reason, we don't know why they happen when they happen, but several years ago, Luke and I were at a tea show in Las Vegas because we have this beautiful baobab tea, so we wanted,
yeah,
to learn about how to sell that ingredient. And
the
so we go.
The leaves are amazing.
The tea is beautiful, and we have barely tapped into,
okay,
to where that can go. But so long story short, we run into this guy, he's a paper maker and whatever, and Luke's like, wow, could you make a face mask with my baobab tea leaves? This is kind of before face masks really,
yeah,
really took off. Now they're everywhere.
Yes.
And by the way, there's tons of chemicals in them. They're toxic, they're wasteful, they don't, you know. So this over back and forth over 3 years, we've been kind of refining this potential mask. So we go to this Indie Beauty show, and we have our oil, and we have our powder, and we have a couple of other things we're introducing.
And this mask is made in Europe.
And this, okay, mask we have, and we just pull it together last minute that we have the mask, and we have mock-ups of our new branding. So we have it displayed, and I'm going to show you how it looks. I'm not going to put it on. But it is, here, Luke will show you.
Yeah, so this is made out of the leaves of the baobab.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, the fruit powder is extremely high in nutrition, but the leaves, I mean, it's an amazing tree.
That's incredible.
And the leaves are same, high vitamin C, high antioxidants, minerals, and it's very demulcent. It's soft to the skin.
Okay.
And they were able to create this very light, compostable, disposable, whatever you want to call it, mask without any chemicals.
So cool.
And this was the hit.
Yeah.
People, we were so focused on
over
this.
Over the oil.
And we did all this work,
yeah,
you know. It's still an amazing oil,
yeah,
don't get me wrong. But but this mask gained the interest, and now we've been
nominated for best sheet mask from the show.
And the cosmetic industry.
And best clean ingredient brand from this Indie Beauty, which is, you know, what an incredible opportunity for us. So we're waiting to hear.
You would call this a sheet mask.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
okay,
a sheet mask. Yeah. So it'll be packaged,
so,
you know, in a little
it's
bit
really,
of smaller
it's really
version.
Cool. You just soak it in some water.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some really
and then
cool,
you apply
I'll
it.
The, so
and
cool.
It's just the skin absorbs, you know, or the vitamin C really benefits the skin.
And then our friend did some great little icons. So you've got the compostable little can at the end. You really just submerge it in water, and then you would put it on for 15 minutes or so.
That is awesome.
And you get it's like having a cup of tea for your face. But
very cool.
So you
now,
never know.
So the That's leaves cool. are going from Ghana to Europe. They're being made into paper, then they get punched into masks, and then they get shipped to the U.S.
That is so
so
cool.
that's a whole
so
other
that
supply
was our
chain.
Hiccup.
Yes.
Yeah.
But talk about hiccups.
Yeah, and you know, this when we got into Whole Foods was not because we had a broker, because they'd never even heard of baobab. And I went into the local Whole Foods here, and I ran into the guy that was kind of the meter greeter, and I was like, dude, when are you gonna put our baobab in? That was back in the day where you could be in one or two stores.
Yeah.
He's like, Barb, perfect timing. I've got the senior VP, VP, and head of marketing for the SOPAC region eating breakfast in Whole Foods right now.
Oh, wow.
And I was in my workout clothes. I was in my gym clothes. I was going for my juice after my workout. And I was like, oh, Dave, don't do this. And he's like, come on over. So I had to do my little pitch. They're sitting, eating. It was so uncomfortable. And they never heard of Baobab. So I was like, hold on a minute. I ran out to my car because they always have product. Of course, I called Luke. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I ran back in, gave them product. 10 days later, sent an email, how are you liking it? And they were like, here you go. Go straight to corporate. And that's how we got into Whole Foods.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's magic. We call it the magic of Kai Bay, and that's truly been the case the whole way through. Yeah. So lots of
patience,
lows and tears,
persistence,
and
magic.
Lots of highs. And I think being able to navigate that landscape is the biggest challenge of entrepreneurship.
Yes.
If there's one thing that I'm struggling with, it is self-care to sustain all that stress.
Yes.
So,
what are some common daily practices that you guys
right
use?
Right now, I walk. That's what I do.
Walking.
And we go on bike rides or hike. And I'm Barb
yoga.
Loves her yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I've sailed a lot less, surfed a lot less. But I think that's, if there's one component, one tweak that I see is maintaining your own, strength to endure these ups and downs.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ups and downs are every day and sometimes they're once a month. So it's fun at the same time.
Yes.
You know, would I do something else right now? No.
Yeah. I think that's necessary for entrepreneurs. Like, you literally have to love it so much, and it has to be so much deeper than just making money. Otherwise, you can't work the 60, 70, 80 hour weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's impossible.
And our kids are a little bit older. I, as a mom, and that's where, you know, that's always my first priority is, our kids are now 19.
I think
and
you need
do
to
I
put that
had,
on, because that sun is starting to come in your eyes.
Oh.
Yay.
I've never gotten the privilege of wearing the Ghanaian hat. It's Luke's hat. Sometimes I come home and he's dancing around to African music wearing his hat.
Don't tell anyone
that.
Everything.
But I couldn't have done it when my kids were little.
Yeah.
And even with that, they help us at trade shows. They write copy. So now, you know, it's just part of what their life is.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
I love it.
Yeah.
So where do you see Kai Bay going in the next 5 years? What are some of the goals for you guys? Vision?
One arm, I see Baobab with the whole movement in the microbiome.
And wild.
And reappreciation for wild ingredients, the information on the prebiotic that's coming out is going to be a huge, asset or great opportunity for Baobab. So you'll see the ingredients show up in foods, in foods that have functional benefits.
Yes.
And so that part of Kai Bay I see really growing, and we're seeing great growth in that area right now. So I see that growing because the volume will impact the community anymore in a profound way. At the same time, we're having an opportunity to partner with some major global cosmetic company. My dream is that Kai Bay becomes a model for beauty, wellness, inside and out, using the purest ingredients that leave this planet a better place. Doing business in a way that doesn't ruin the planet.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to packaging, that's a whole other story.
Right.
If there's one thing that I have a real issue with is plastic, and how can I have products that we can have in packaging that don't impact the world in a negative way. So I'm always looking at all these different things. So I want Kai Bay to be just a company that's recognized for quality, integrity, transparency, and hopefully an example for this industry. That's my dream. And that's kind of what I see for Kai Bay.
Anything you would add?
I mean, I, you know, I just want all those things. I want them to, you say 3 to 5 years, or did you say 5 to 10? I, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. So I hope that now that we're 7 years almost into this, that the next 3 years sees that growth, and so that Luke and I can actually bring other people on to help, or Luke and I and Tom. It's a lot.
It's just like we were starting naturopathic medicine 25 years ago. We were definitely on the front end of the curve, and I think that's where we're at right now with Kai Bay. And when it comes to future dream for Kai Bay, is that become a company that larger companies seek to incorporate into their portfolio, and because of the value that we bring when it comes to sustainability and quality and livelihoods. So for me, that's what I see, and I think that's what bigger companies look for. So that's kind of what we bring.
I agree 100%. So everybody watching or listening absolutely needs to check out the hat, for one, and the film, Lost Props. And where's the best place for everyone to find you on social channels and everything else? What do you prefer?
At Go Kai Bay, definitely on our website. Of course, we sell on Amazon and through affiliates. We're in Thrive Market, other places. So just Google Kai Bay, KAIBAE. Our website is gokaibay.com. And, you know, talk to us, direct message us, you know, ask a question to Luke.
Yeah,
we're super available.
Yeah.
We love sharing the information.
You really are. I've noticed that.
I mean, I love meeting people, and I think that's my strength in Kai Bay. I mean, you know, these guys have their expertise. We just love chatting and talking and meeting people, so.
Well, what I love in closing is you guys are building a community, in a sense, of like-minded people with a mission that's all tied into it. It's not just a large corporation. And I think that's extremely attractive, and I applaud you guys for that. So thank you guys
for
joining us so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I did, and I had so much fun sitting down with this couple. If you guys are curious about where to get Kai Bay products, just go to their website. It's gokaibae.com, gokaibae.com. They've got a lot of great information on there, including your ability to watch the film, The Lost Crops. And I just love this product. I use Kai Bay every single morning in my smoothie, the baobab powder, that is, and it's just awesome. It's a great value. You're getting 3 times the antioxidants of even acai berries, which are supposedly off the charts. So imagine baobab powder. And check out some of their other stuff, their mask that they have coming out, some of their face oil. Just really cool stuff. I'm all about promoting and supporting companies that are really giving back to the planet and just making a difference. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have questions, comments, please post them. Always looking forward to your feedback. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks so much for listening.